Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
It is indeed the Grace Curley Show, and we are back. I have a great piece I want to get to. We were talking earlier with a World War II vet, James Ingargiola. His last name's a little tricky for me, but he's a wonderful man. And he was talking about how much things have changed and how much people don't appreciate the freedom of this country anymore. They don't appreciate the beauty of the country and how important it is and how wonderful it is. I mean, there's a lot of people every day who I see, blue check marks, journalists, activists, who tell me how awful this country is. And yet, strangest thing, there does seem to be a surge on the border of people wanting to come into the country. I'll never understand that one. But it got me thinking, because when I was younger and my parents and other adults would say, oh, well, they're brainwashing all these kids now that get out of these liberal schools. They're brainwashing them. And I always kind of thought, oh, you're being dramatic. You know, they're really not. I mean, yeah, of course there's liberal professors, but I was a theater major and I didn't have any issue with it. And I always just thought it was kind of over the top. And thanks to a lot of different people kind of being outspoken about their experiences, either teaching or being in school, I'm understanding that this is not overblown. This is a serious thing. And brainwashing is putting it mildly. The indoctrination that is happening to young people who are supposed to be learning about things, you know, history, math, science, and instead they're learning about oppressors and the oppressed and racial identity and privilege. And Bari Weiss has an incredible Substack. You guys remember her. She wrote for the New York Times, and she was too intolerant for the New York Times, aka she was not brainwashed and not a screaming liberal. So she got the boot. And she highlights people on her Substack that they're really great writers. And this guy's piece struck me. His name is Paul Rossi, okay? And he's a teacher at Grace Church High School in Manhattan. And this is a very fancy school, you know, private liberal institution. And he talks about what's going on there. And he fully acknowledges that he will probably lose his job after writing this piece. But it's that important to him. It's that important that he doesn't care, that he is willing to maybe lose his job to get this truth out there. And I have to read it to you because, first of all, I think you guys will appreciate it. But if you're someone like me and you think people are always overblowing this, it's scarier than you probably give it credit for. It's a scary phenomenon, what they're doing to these kids. So I'm going to skip around here, as I always do, for time's sake, give you guys the most important parts of it. But I highly encourage everyone to check it out on your own. This is Paul Rossi. He says, I am a teacher at Grace Church High School in Manhattan. 10 years ago, I changed careers when I discovered how rewarding it is to help young people explore the truth and beauty of mathematics. I love my work. But right now, my school is asking me to embrace anti-racism training. And I believe it is deeply harmful to them and to any person who seeks to nurture the virtues of curiosity, empathy, and understanding. Again, I am kind of cutting this around. Hope I'm not taking anything out of context, but I just have to keep it a little bit shorter. So he talks about this anti-racist training and what it means. Anti-racist training sounds righteous, but it is the opposite of truth in advertising. It requires teachers like myself to treat students differently on the basis of race. Furthermore, in order to maintain a united front for our students, teachers at Grace are directed to confine our doubts about this framework to conversations with an in-house Office of Community Engagement, for whom every significant objection leads to a foregone conclusion. Any doubting students are likewise challenged to reframe their views to conform to this orthodoxy. I know that by attaching my name to this, I'm risking not only my current job, but my career as an educator, since most schools, both public and private, are now captive to this backward ideology. But witnessing the harmful impact it has on children, I can't stay silent. So he talks about something that we've brought up a lot before, which is critical race theory, how one student is the oppressed and one is the oppressor. And he says the morally compromised status of oppressor is assigned to one group of students based on their immutable characteristics. In the meantime, dependency, resentment, and moral superiority are cultivated in students considered oppressed. All of this is done in the name of equity, but it is the opposite of fair. In reality, all of this reinforces the worst impulses we have as human beings, our tendency towards tribalism. And I'm going to skip down here a little bit. So he talks about, and this sounds fake, he talks about a Zoom call, because all great things right now in 2021 happen on Zoom calls. It's a faculty Zoom meeting, whites only. A whites-only student and faculty Zoom meeting. You heard me right. Such racially segregated sessions are now commonplace at my school. It was a bait-and-switch self-care seminar that, now these are some of the things that they label as characteristics of white supremacy. Ready? Objectivity, individualism, fear of open conflict, and a right to comfort. Those are all characteristics of white supremacy. I would try to understand that, but we only have a few minutes here, and I have no idea what any of that really means. In the Zoom chat, I also questioned whether one must define oneself in terms of racial identity at all. My goal was to model for students that they should feel safe to question ideological assertions if they felt moved to do so. So this teacher speaks up, and he kind of questions this at this all-white Zoom meeting. And those Zoom meetings usually have a norm of confidentiality, but of course, his questions get out shared outside the forum. And are you ready for this? Now, some students reached out to him and said, oh, thank you for speaking out. I've kind of had those ideas that might not follow the narrative, and it was nice to hear teachers speak out. I was informed by the head of the high school that my philosophical challenges had caused harm to students, given that these topics were life and death matters about people's flesh and blood and bone. I was reprimanded for acting like an independent agent of a set of principles or ideas or beliefs. And I was told that by doing so, I failed to serve the greater good and the higher truth. The head of the high school further informed me that I had created dissonance for vulnerable and unformed thinkers and neurological disturbance in students' beings and systems. The school's director of studies added that my remarks could even constitute harassment. A few days later, the head of the school ordered all high school advisors to read a public reprimand of my conduct out loud to every student. It was a surreal experience walking the halls alone and hearing simultaneously the words emitting from each classroom. Events from last week compel us to underscore some aspects of our mission and share some thoughts about our community. At independent schools with their history of predominantly white populations, racism colludes blah, 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 blah. My own contract for the next year requires me to participate in restorative practices designed by the Office of Community Engagement in order to heal my relationship with the students of color and other students in my classes. The details of these practices remain unspecified until I agree to sign. So he talks about this self-care meeting and how he had a difference of opinion and he shared it and people were relieved that he shared it. And then the school immediately put the kibosh on it. And it goes on. I'm going to finish this because I think it's worth reading. But he also talks about how these students are not encouraged to think differently than what the teachers are telling them. In fact, oftentimes they're treated worse if they have a different opinion. And I was talking to a woman recently, and she said to me, when we were in school, she was probably 55 years old. She said, when I was in school, we were taught how to think. We were not taught what to think. You know, you were taught to be a critical thinker, how to analyze things, how to look at things and find the facts and find the opinion. And she said, now they're just teaching kids what to think. And this story, when I read it, I was like, oh, we are, I don't know how else to put it, we are so screwed. If these are the children that are going to become the doctors and the lawyers and doing our taxes, and all they're being taught at school is, you are the oppressor, you must apologize for your racism. It's really scary. And I'm not being dramatic. I'm not being the conservative, like, oh, they're being brainwashed. They are being brainwashed. And I'll finish this on the other side. We have a lot more to get to, and we will be right back. 844-500-4242. If you have an experience with this, and here's the part of it I want to emphasize. I don't have any children. So a lot of times people think this is a topic for parents. Like, oh, I have a kid, he's in second grade, and you should see what they're teaching them. But I think this is an issue that everyone needs to care about, because these kids are going to be at some point running the world and at least running our country. And they're not equipped. They're learning this crazy critical race theory, and it's not helpful to anyone. I think all it does is it makes people more angry and more divided. 844-500-4242. But if you disagree, feel free. We will not make you read a statement afterwards apologizing to the classroom. 844-500-4242. I already see people lining up. We'll take your calls on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Reading a Substack piece from Bari Weiss about the brainwashing that goes on, not just in colleges anymore. It's high school. It's elementary school. And it's by this man, Paul Rossi. He has a great piece. And I just want to finish a little bit of it here. He talks about speaking up. They encourage kids to speak up. But all they want them to say, all the teachers want them to say, is the exact points that they have been drilling into their heads about racism and oppression and, you know, all the good points that they've made over the years. And he says, but what does speaking up mean in a context in which white students are asked to interrogate their, quote, white saviorism, but also, quote, not take their anti-racist practice or not make their anti-racist practice about them? So you have to talk about your white saviorism, but then when you start talking about it, they go, whoa, 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 this isn't about you, you selfish racist. We are compelling them to tiptoe through a minefield of double binds. According to the school's own standard for violence, this constitutes abuse, discursive violence. Every student at the school must also sign a student life agreement, which requires them to avert that the world as we understand it can be hard and extremely biased. They commit to recognize and acknowledge their biases. A recent faculty email chain received enthusiastic support for recommending, this is where it gets really crazy, for recommending that we officially flag students who appear resistant to the culture we are trying to establish. When I question what form this resistance takes, examples presented by a colleague included persisting with a colorblind ideology, suggesting that we treat everyone with respect, a belief in meritocracy, and here's the real kicker, just silence. So if you don't chime in about how racist everyone is, you also might be flagged. In a special assembly in February 2019, our head of school said that the impact of words and images perceived as racist, regardless of intent, is akin to using a gun or a knife to kill or injure someone. Imagine being a young person in this environment. Would you risk voicing your doubts, especially if you have never heard a single teacher question it? And then the last part of the story, he talks about how a student came to his door and, like, you know, faintly tapped on it. And he came in and said to the teacher, you know, thanks for speaking up, and kind of offered him some words of support. He said, I thanked him for his comments, but I asked him why he seemed so nervous. He told me he was worried that a particular teacher might notice this visit and it would mean that I would get in trouble. He reported to me that this teacher once gave him a lengthy talking to for voicing a conservative opinion in class. He then remembered with a sigh of relief that that teacher was absent that day. I looked him in the eyes. I told him he was a brave young man for coming to see me and that he should be proud of that. Then I sent him on his way and I resolved to write this piece. I give this guy a lot of credit because he's probably going to get canned. But he's not afraid anymore to say what he thinks. And he's absolutely right. If a teacher is afraid to speak up, what student is going to have a different opinion? Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not much. So, getting really exhausted with the race thing, frankly. I grew up in southern Florida in the 70s, and I had lots of black friends, lots of Hispanic friends. And as a child, I mean, you look at each other and you see just another kid, you know, and as we grow older, it's the elders who may inflict race.
Yeah.
So fortunately, I was able to score well and came up to New England to a prestigious prep school, name unsaid, where there was plenty of black, Chinese, and other people, but we didn't have any race. We didn't feel like they were just our classmates. And we thrived together, talk about ideas and what we hoped our lives would be in the future. So the media complex and all these other folks get involved and sabotage our minds.
Yeah, no, Dave, I think you're absolutely onto something. I think it's similar to what Charles Barkley said a few weeks ago. He said, you know, I think a lot of black people are awesome people. I think a lot of white people are awesome people. I think it's the politicians that convince them to hate each other. And I would go one step further to Dave's point and say it's the media. It's the media. They want this to be a recurring theme, that there's racism and white supremacy. And it's unfortunate because the narrative is not helping anyone. John, thank you for the call, Dave. John, you're next with Grace. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, we have children at all levels of education. We're constantly deprogramming the liberal slop that they bring home with them, whether it's private school or public school. It's a responsibility, Grace, that we just have to do. Again, even at the college level, it's something we take very serious. And even to the point that Biden isn't the president, we let the young children know these things. We give the facts. We back it up with facts. You know, Hillary Clinton's a terrible female role model. Right down the line, we're constantly making efforts to deprogram the liberal slop that our kids come home with.
Yeah, and John, I don't think you're being overdramatic. It's when I came home from elementary school and high school, there were some teachers you knew leaned left, but it was not this bad. They weren't telling us what to think. I'll be back on the other side. We got producers' picks coming up, so don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We covered a lot today. The vaccines, NASCAR, Mountain Dew. We talked to a wonderful guest, James Ingargiola. I'm not doing justice to the name, Jared. Help me out with that.
Ingargiola.
Thank you. Wonderful World War II vet. Who beat COVID and had lung cancer and beat that. Just an incredible person. We also had some Charlie Baker sound. So Howie, I'm sure, will be playing that as well in his show after this. But we also have to do the poll question here. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA Dark Roast to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucofefe.com. It's C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you had to choose between them, who would you vote for? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis?
I'm going to go with Donald Trump.
Donald Trump holding the lead at 69%, 31% for Ron DeSantis.
All right, and now it is time. This is, a lot of people say this is their favorite time of the day. It is 2:30. You know what that means. It's time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
You guys know Jared loves Star Trek. You know that he loves sports and he loves good coffee. But there's other things you don't know about Jared, and sometimes we find out during Producer's Picks. This is when Jared, my producer, goes through all of the stories of the day and handpicks the ones that are sparking interest in him. Jared, take it away.
And good news, Star Trek and sports intersect in today's Producer's Picks, but
yes,
not right off the top.
That's awesome news. I'm so excited for both of those things.
As well you should be. So John Kerry is making his carbon footprint felt everywhere, whether it be his family flying to Chicago or his chin crossing state lines before him. Whatever it is, he's out there fighting climate, one carbon footprint at a time. However, I don't know if you know this, but Joe Biden is having a world leader climate party at the White House, I believe, next week. But unfortunately, one person who John Kerry really wants to be there won't be showing up. This was on CNN.
President Biden is hosting a summit next week with world leaders. And more than 40 heads of state will be taking part in that virtual summit. And the president is asking every country to raise their ambition so that we can meet the targets of Paris and, in fact, exceed them and do what we need to do for the next 10 years. We hope China will join us.
Has Xi Jinping committed to taking part in Biden's summit next week?
No, he hasn't yet.
Oh, that's hurt.
He thinks we're a joke.
Ain't no party like a Chinese Communist Party. Am I right?
I mean, it's John Kerry's climate party, and he can cry if he wants to. You know that expression, Jared, they say where it's like the beatings will continue until morale improves? The private jet flying will continue until global warming improves. And that's just it. He will continue on this tour. He does not care how many metric tons of poisonous gas emissions he has to put into the air. He will fix this problem, even if it's an inconvenient truth for all you NASCAR watchers.
All right, I hope you got your Sunday night schedule cleared out, because we got big news. Sunday night, President Biden, former President Obama, Michelle Obama, and a bevy of celebrities will roll up their sleeves, quote, this weekend as part of a starry-filled vaccination TV special. Airing Sunday on NBC, Roll Up Your Sleeves aims to, quote, educate viewers, raise awareness, and dispel concerns surrounding the COVID-19 vaccines, end quote.
Well, were the Golden Globes ratings and the Oscar ratings and the Grammy ratings not enough to tell these people that nobody wants to hear from them?
It was not.
What kind of message do we need to send for you guys to understand that we barely want to see you in TV shows and movies anymore? We're just barely hanging on. We definitely don't want to see you talking about the Fauci ouchie.
Definitely an all-star lineup, including Matthew McConaughey.
All right, all right, all right.
I do love Matthew McConaughey. I can't lie to you.
Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert.
Oh, really? He cleared out his schedule. That was the New York Post piece that compared him to that, what was it, Sylvia Miles, is that her name?
Yes.
Who would go to the opening of an envelope. He has her beat, because he would go anywhere with a TV camera. Anywhere.
Yep.
I'm surprised he hasn't shown up here yet to get on our YouTube stream, popped up behind me.
Yes, among the other celebrities appearing, Ellen Pompeo, Amanda Seyfried, Wanda Sykes, Jane Seymour, Jennifer Lopez, Billy Crystal, Faith Hill, Ava Longoria, Jennifer Hudson, Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton, Demi Lovato, Joel McHale. So it's going to be a virtual who cares of the who's who telling you why you should get vaccinated with the roll up your sleeves Sunday night. But
I just got tired of listening to that. I just yawned listening to that. That sounds so boring.
It gets better, though, because if you can't roll up your sleeves fast enough, next month, a massive event touting vaccinations was announced. Global Citizens Vax Live, the concert to reunite the world. So remember when they did, well, you probably don't remember, but they did Farm Aid. They've done other celebrity.
Is that the one with Queen?
Yeah, well, that Live Aid, Farm Aid, yes, the Queen, the famous.
I was just watching that last night.
Yeah, so this is another We Are the World moment, telling you to get vaccinated. So unless I see Joe Biden in a Stetson hat, tap dancing and singing Mr. Bojangles, I want no part of this.
Tap dancing? Lord, Jared, he's trying to just get up the stairs.
That's what I'm talking about.
I have to say, I watched that movie. Is it called Queen or is it called Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, the one that came out. I think it's Bohemian Rhapsody that came out.
Really? I've seen it before.
Rami Malek.
Yeah, really good. And you don't realize how many hits they had.
Yeah, they sneak up on you.
Oh my God, they sneak up on you. And how they created them. Very cool. I like all the live action between the audience. That's how I try to be with you guys.
I'm just picturing you in the mustache right now.
All right. You just picture me saying to the audience, sing back to me. It was really a cool movie.
It's been a while, but we have
Tales from Chicago.
Oh.
Chicago, Chicago.
All right. So for our new affiliates, WHMP, Chicago, UVR, and Chicago, WNTK, this is a segment where we talk about maybe the worst city in America right now, Chicago.
And the competition, let me tell you, it is fierce.
So sad news for Chicago. Especially for Chicago area fire stations.
No dogs allowed.
Dogs have been banned from Chicago firehouses after a dog killed a smaller pet walking near an Englewood fire station. So, you know, firehouses, they used to have the Dalmatians as the mascots. It's kind of a big symbol. Well, in Chicago, no more dogs in the firehouses, of which the vast majority of them did have dogs as whether they were mascots or, you know, just companions for the firefighters. No more dogs allowed.
I kind of get that, honestly. It's like you got enough going on in a fire department, you know? If a fire breaks out somewhere and the fire department, they need to be ready to go. They need to slide down the poles. They need to put on the hard hats. You don't need a canine, you know, getting in between everyone's feet. Maybe he's got... He's taking the hose and he's got it rolled up in his little bed or something. You know, there are a lot of things can go wrong when you have a dog. And also, I just want to mention this. Dr. Matt, who is a guest of the Howie Carr Show and has been on the Grace Curley Show as well, he has imparted a lot of wisdom onto me. And he actually told me, which I had heard before, the Dalmatians are very, very aggressive. And I'm not sure if he said aggressive or just not that bright.
I think they have a blindness issue too, more than any other dog.
And
but
if there's a Dalmatian community out there, I'm sorry, I'm not offending. I'm just saying they're tricky dogs in general, and I'm sure there are some great ones. But to have them in the fire department when, you know, all hell's breaking loose, and then you've got Spot running around causing chaos, just seems like one less thing to worry about.
Yes, this stemmed from a dog named Bones, believed by the Chicago Fire Department to be a mixed breed stray taken off the street who was living at Engine 116 at 60th Street and Ashland Avenue. It got out and killed a small breed dog that was being walked in the area. So
Bones?
Bones was the dog's name.
Mm. Okay.
And I did promise an intersection of sports and Star Trek, but we will start with sports. By now, I'm pretty sure everyone has seen this. Yesterday afternoon or maybe early evening, the New England Patriots terminated Julian Edelman's contract, which left everybody scratching their heads, but it was a precursor to Julian Edelman's retirement from football because of a knee injury. He recorded the video for all the fans. This was part of it. This was towards the end.
It's hell of a run. And I can't forget you, Patriot Nation. You guys have welcomed me and my family to a region we do not know. We didn't know. But now, I'm one of you. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
Seventh round pick, quarterback converted to wide receiver, three-time Super Bowl champion, second all-time in postseason receiving yards, behind only Jerry Rice. Hangs him up because of a knee injury.
Yeah, great player, team player. I know he's really tight with TB.
Yep.
There's still some people speculating whether or not he really
is retiring or if he's going to pull a Gronk. It seems like his knee is so bad that he just can't continue, but we'll see.
But I love Julian Edelman. I wish him the absolute best, and I thank him as a Patriots fan. He really, and he's tough too, Jared. That's one thing I always noticed. He's not a big guy, and he would get hit, but he would bounce right back up.
There were some times like that Seattle Super Bowl, he was clearly concussed.
Oh, yeah.
And he just kept going. But Julian Edelman, thank you. And at the end of his video, this is what I loved. You know, he's at Gillette Stadium. He's sitting on the field, and now he's just walking towards the field, towards the end zone, and
beam me up.
He does the Star Trek transporter ending where he says, beam me up, and then he shimmers into the transporter, which that was cool for me. That was an interception.
So that was a double whammy for you.
It was a double whammy for me.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you.
And that's all for producer's picks today.
All right. Thank you very much, Jared. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows, but that means pollen's going to come in. That means it's going to get dusty and you're going to get itchy. Your nose is going to get runny. But if you have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it can help with all of that. Jared, explain to people exactly how it helps your allergies.
So the Eden Pure Thunderstorm does what naturally happens after a thunderstorm, which is why they call it the thunderstorm. It ionizes and cleans the air. It gets rid of pollutants. It gets rid of some viruses. It gets rid of any odors. And it cleans the air around you, which for somebody like me with allergies, even with medication, you don't always get all the symptoms. But to be in the clean air for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, it has absolutely changed the way I breathe. It's changed the way I look at allergies. And just very quickly, 617 texted in, "Hi, Grace and Jared. Will the thunderstorm work on cigar smoke in my wife's car well enough so that she will not know I had smoked a cigar in her car?"
Oh, man. I don't know if I want it to work because that's a sneaky move.
I dare say I do believe it will get rid of the cigar smoke.
Yes, it will.
But just, you know, be careful when you try to play those games. That's all.
Crack a window.
Yeah.
I remember my Nana used to sometimes, when she would come over, she would try to smoke. And, she would smoke outside. But once in a while, my mom would smell it. And she knew that she was just near an open window. And she just had it kind of sitting towards the outside. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you will save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and again, put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. Do not miss it. We'll be back on the other side with the one and only Howard Lawrence Carr. This is the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. It is my honor to present to you the car crossover. Howie Carr is joining us. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Howie.
I miss Prince.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't, Howie? That's actually one singer that Howie and I both enjoy. There's not many.
That was one of the great scenes of the last 50 years of movie making. Is when Jack Nicholson, the Joker, is coming up the stairs after he's poisoned everybody else except for Vicky Vale and Batman.
Yeah, there's not a lot of times where Howie ask me to watch something on YouTube. It's usually the other way around. And that was one scene he made me watch on YouTube.
That is a great Batman movie. Great Batman movie.
It really was. All right, Howie. So my question for you, I want to play this sound cut for you because I cannot get enough of it. And I want your immediate go-to reaction. I'm sure you'll be discussing this during your show. But here is Jen Psaki talking about how she's reaching the white conservative communities. Cut four.
Members of our COVID team from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins participate in a range of media interviews. You know, an example is Dr. Collins participated in the 700 Club. Dr. Nunez-Smith hosted a faith leaders roundtable. We're also looking for, we've run PSAs on The Deadliest Catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and Country Music TV. We're looking for a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities.
How are they trying to connect to Biden voting communities? I would assume they're having some seances in graveyards.
Very good, Howie. That's a dig right there. Well, I was just going to say, have you seen any PSAs on Boston Blackie or, you know, any of the programs that you frequent? Have you found any little note cards in your Perry Mason novel saying, get your vaccine?
No, I told you the only thing I saw this weekend, I watched more TV than I normally watch, which is normally none. And I saw one ad for HR1, that horrible bill that would destroy the election system we've had in this country since the Constitution was written. That's the only thing I've seen. I don't think it was a PSA either. I think they have so much money. They're just buying the time.
Well, Howie, speaking of PSAs, I know that you're a big fan of the Empress of Doom, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. A few days ago, she had said she felt impending doom. She went off the cuff, off script. Listen to what she had to say about the current surges happening. Cut two.
The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down, to flatten the curve. But really what we need to do in those situations is shut things down. I think if we tried to vaccinate our way out of what is happening in Michigan, we would be disappointed that it took so long for the vaccine to work.
Flatten the curve, Howie. Can you believe the gall? She's actually starting up again with flatten the curve.
You know, what do you expect? She lives in Chestnut Hill. She's a neighbor of the former Undersecretary of Climate Change for Charlie Bacon. You know, I mean, that's the world she comes out of. And I don't know if taking the masks off isn't working. Why is everything in Texas and Florida so much more free and so much more safe than in Michigan, New York, Massachusetts, all the lockdown states? They're doing a terrible job. How are we following the facts when she's saying, keep going with the stuff that's not working?
Yeah, no, and that was what Dr. Fauci was very confused about. He wasn't sure why that was happening, why Texas seems to be doing okay while other states are not.
Did you know that in the 1980s, when he was running the AIDS program, that Dr. Fauci said on TV that he thought that a spouse could pass the disease on while sitting in a room with his or her spouse?
Was that a hot take gone bad?
I'd like to see some videotape of that, but it may be a pre-video, maybe a print interview, but he said it.
He's been making bad predictions for decades now. Guys, don't go anywhere. Howie Carr is coming up next.